This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Hey, everybody, welcome to This Life podcast. Bob.
Hey, I'm eating.
Good. Make sure you go to iTunes, give a 5-star rating, share our post on Dr. Drew's Facebook page. Check out drdrew.com. We are taking emails at /contact there, and we will use your experiences for discussion. Though, that's how we say, I have to shred it. I've been a little bit of vague. We can't tell you exactly what to do.
We got 4 in the other day.
Yeah, they were good. Also, hit up the Amazon banner, drdrew.com. If you ever need to make a purchase in your everyday life, podcast needs the support, and also bookmark that Amazon link. So you bookmark drdrew.com and This Life Podcast, and our friends at the Rocky Mountain Recovery Center, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go out there.
Good.
Andy, you want to go to Montana with me and investigate a rehab center?
Great. Andy Dick is with us.
Investigate?
We're going to just see if they're doing things the right way.
I've called it
undercover.
No. It'd be better, I suppose. But I suppose
you could check in. I could go check you in. And then you could tell me if they're good.
The other voice.
Wait, this might be the way to go.
Simone Bien is the other voice you're hearing there. Simone Bien.
Hello.
Sex therapist. You know her from a previous podcast we did with her. And she's agreed to stay around and help us out with Andy because Andy's depressed.
Andy. I don't like to see Andy depressed because I saw Andy. He has been in my living room for the last 2 weeks.
Because of love?
Everybody loves this
that's
show,
how
love,
rumors start.
Andy.
Oh.
Yeah. It's quite funny. We were talking about it on an earlier podcast with the boys. And trouble is, I completely missed all the dysfunction. I was like, this is so funny. This is brilliant lines. I'm watching this for entertainment.
This is Judd Apatow's right. Series, Love.
Drew saw it as Sex Addiction and Trauma.
I couldn't
it
watch.
Really is.
I had trouble watching.
I have friends that had to turn it off. My episode, they turned it off. They got too sad.
It's
true.
It makes
those stories are true.
Are you playing yourself?
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him if we could please change the name to protect the guilty. But the episode is called Andy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Really, John?
Well, maybe that's playing into a little bit of your stuff.
No, because I got over that. First of all, I've been sick for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Upper respiratory?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got it.
Horrible.
I've got to sing at the National Anthem at the hockey game next Saturday.
You do?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, I heard about that.
I would love to see that. I cannot get this thing.
Are you going to do it all opera?
So you're a little sick, too?
Yeah, awesome. And my son's been coaching me.
Get it. Oh, yeah. Well, stay away from me. But it's been 2 weeks.
And listen what's happened. Andy's been doing what we told him, staying in treatment, year and a half, year and 2 months.
Still living.
Year and 2 months.
Even though they shut down the villas.
And they're shutting it down.
They
around
shut
him.
It down.
Around him. He closed up the rehab like he used to close up the bars.
Yes. It is like that. I'm one of the last stragglers. I'm like, yo, you're going to have to pry me out.
So what happened? Just for anyone who doesn't know, Andy, you live in a
sober living, and I've been there for 16 months.
He's been there so long, they're going out of business.
But there has been one little wrinkle in his recovery.
Well, he met a gal pal.
Oh.
A gal pal.
Uh-oh.
No, a gal pal refers to when a gay guy has a girl that he's not fucking. That's
oh, really?
A gal, yeah, that's
oh,
a gal pal.
Oh, I always think of,
that's a gal
of
pal.
Somebody you're not living with is a gal pal.
No.
Well, Andy.
It's like the tabloid term for... Like
oh, is
if,
it?
If Rock well, Hudson had a gal pal.
I always refer to myself as having gal pal.
Andy, am I the first person in your life to be concerned about your sex addiction? I'm not the only.
Yeah, besides me.
And Bob.
What if it's a love addiction?
Well,
I see it as love addiction.
It's all together. All together.
It's a collapse.
How about, Andy, I know how you'll understand it. She can fix and make me happy addiction.
Well, she does.
No, she doesn't. No person can do that.
When we're having, here's how I describe it. If we, a good night for us is if we go out to dinner, we eat, we don't argue much. Nobody gets up from the table and leaves. We go home.
Already very different than all his other relationships.
And we have some really good sex and either go to bed together or I go home or she goes home. Night halfway decently. Was a good night.
So if you're both having, if you're having sex somewhere and both of you have the option of going home, where is it that the sex is happening?
In our different apartments. She has an apartment.
So one or the other is going home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I recall the last time we saw you, you had a mattress in your car.
I still do.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
The mobile sex.
Okay, so step in. Just in case the moment hits them, they have a mattress in Andy's car.
Yes.
I mean,
very 70s of you.
Yeah, that's, I was going to say,
we're the same age, exactly.
I sort of applaud the resourcefulness.
Yes.
And it also makes me quite sad.
What? Why? You should be happy.
Someone's getting sex.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the character.
Well,
the
mattress was out of necessity because they were both not in sober living. Yeah. We weren't allowed to have sex.
Okay, and still, I will say, it makes me sad. Because there's a reason you're not allowed to have sex in sober living.
Oh, I don't...
Thank you, Simone.
Subscribe to that. I don't subscribe
Andy has some of the rules of rehab he doesn't like so much.
Right. Yeah.
So, it's Andy... But
whatever it takes to stay sober.
Can we analyze what he did on
Sober House? Because I can tell you now, I see it clearly because I've been watching other people do it. You befriended the kind of crazy house manager so you could do whatever the fuck you wanted.
Pretty much.
That goes on in every treatment center in America, Drew. Every sober living, all...
Jennifer Jimenez.
You see it everywhere.
Makes sense.
Stayed up with her that first night till 5 a.m.
And there's
legitimately got along.
And that's interesting for me. Are you aware that you're manipulating?
It was a two-way street. I think there was a mutual attraction. I think that we could have been fucking.
Oh right. My so, goodness, Drew, what would have happened if Jennifer Jimenez and Andy were
that would have
fucking
been fun.
On TV?
Don't you remember Amber?
Oh my God.
Amber Smith?
Yeah, she
you
climbed,
tried.
She climbed into my bed naked.
I know, and it freaked you out pretty good. But she didn't
do
anything
actually.
With you. Yeah.
Well, because she
was it
so
too aggressive?
Hot.
Wait. Yes, was it too aggressive? Women are not supposed to behave that way in Andy's world.
No, right. it frightened me. Because she's
see, that's my world. That's my wheel well. She's I know what's supposed to happen then.
She's climbing into my bed naked.
Well, that's interesting. Like,
wait. I freak out.
Wait, Simone, how about men that like that versus dislike that? Any summary?
I like
about
women
that?
Who know what they want.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between sexual. Look, first of all, it depends. You know, whatever you're into. So I don't want to generalize before anyone goes.
No, some men like women like. Taking control,
yeah,
and some women really don't. Some men really don't like that.
So I've actually seen recently. We're talking about another trend: men who like women who take control, and these are the same men who have delayed ejaculation. And what can happen is that
do you like that? Andy just liked how you said ejaculation. Can you say it again?
Ejaculation.
Delayed ejaculation.
Yeah.
She used to call it.
Jumped in his chair.
He used to call it.
Retarded
ejaculation.
Yeah,
because that was what it was called. That was the technical.
Because it slowed down. Yeah, yeah. Slowed okay. down yeah. to ejaculation.
So what is it? Okay,
and the reason I say that is because it's
every
the...
time I ejaculate, I think they call it retarded. She set me up for that.
Isn't that often mistaken for a great lover, man?
Well, exactly.
That's
but
what
it,
Andy is.
But it isn't because. These guys are getting they're not getting sexual pleasure because they can't orgasm.
I can control mine. I can come when I want.
He's very proud of that.
Like I can control my hiccups. If I get hiccups, I can make them go away.
Oh,
wow. And I can come. I wait for her to come, and when she's coming, I just come.
You sound like a Buddhist that's reached enlightenment.
I can come.
I can control my hiccups.
And he's doing it all while living.
I get right up to the edge of coming, and then I just wait for her to come.
He's doing it all while living in sober living, which is amazing.
However,
but going back
many
to
sex addicts I've seen are able to do that in milliseconds if they wish to.
I can come real fast if I wanted to.
What?
Yep. If we're in a hurry or it's just me that's going to come, let's hurry up, let's go.
Do you remember the story?
That's going to come, you have these discussions?
What?
Because of time restraints?
Well, sometimes, yeah, it's just a need sometimes.
Why would you just? Why would you engage in that if it's just?
Because sometimes I just want to come.
And she doesn't mind.
Isn't that normal for a man?
I will tell you that if a woman wants a quickie, she's really not fussed. If a man comes fast, it can be quite a. I mean, that sounds awful. This isn't. Yeah,
but listen, Simone. Sometimes she just wants me to fuck her.
Yeah, they just pre-negotiate. They pre-negotiate the stuff.
Sometimes she just wants me inside of her. Yeah. She's like, I just need you in me, but I don't want to come.
That's weird now, which is one of the longer relationships Andy's ever had since I've known her. Yeah. So something is.
Do you think that your penis acts as, in England, actually, we call it a dummy, but here you call it a pacifier. But do you think sort of like you're a dummy?
A dummy with a retarded ejaculation.
Welcome to my country.
Politically inappropriate.
Do you think that is, and when I say sort of a pacifier, what I mean is, as in, you, it's like a cigarette, you know, putting something in your mouth. And it's like, oh gosh, that makes me feel safe and secure. Do you think that your penis in those situations where she says, I just want you inside me, is kind of a form of intimacy that isn't really, I'm not saying it isn't,
we're
really
still
intimacy,
connected.
But
is it her saying
that's
we're
what
still
I'm asking
connected?
You.
Yeah. Well, I think that's her way of connecting.
Yeah.
You're not going to run off and be Andy Dick without
she can.
Me.
Yes.
Feeling. Of like, you know, everybody's pretty aware, and you've mentioned it. You just need to stay sober a year or two, and you're going to have a thriving career.
Judd Apatow
sure
said that.
I'm sure of
Judd it. Said that, right?
Yeah.
So what happens to her if you are staying sober, and 2 years is coming up here in 8 months?
Yeah.
What happens to your relationship?
It might have to end.
That's why.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, she knows that. She knows. She has said, I'm afraid I'm going to be losing you. Mm. And she's right.
There you go.
I can't do this forever.
Yeah.
Because it's the relationship's very hard.
Yeah. And so then that goes back to the sadness.
Well, he's describing the sex as being sensational. And
it's,
you remember,
so good.
The
last episode, we ended
with that.
Right.
Because there's a lot of that going on. I've had it myself where there's no explaining it.
You can't explain
but
it.
But I believe
the compatibility
it's two people's
is
trauma.
Amazing.
It's two people's trauma hitting a bullseye.
It's a bullseye. Yep.
It's a bullseye.
And
how are you supposed to reject a bullseye?
that's the point. But that's the point. That's okay. If there's process around it.
Talking about it.
Professional process.
Yes. Separate. If you both have therapists and you're talking about it together.
Then I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Because bullseyes are rare, Drew. I know that you know.
No, that's right.
You're not out there living in the world Andy and I are living out in.
Sure, but bullseyes aren't necessarily bullseyes. Bullseyes can be, like you say, because if you've got a bullseye, which is, in your words, trauma to trauma, or two people who are very empty and really need something, need that high, then which we know that a bullseye is, then that isn't really the bullseye. That isn't sexual compatibility. That is, oh good, we can make each other feel like really alive.
It is.
Make sense?
Yeah. But it is sexual compatibility because we do make each other feel alive.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah, but yes, exactly. Yeah, okay, that's well put.
What she's saying though is you shouldn't have to feel alive that way. You should be filled by other means.
Yeah, and so the you're bullseye right. When you were saying when you were saying it's not that common. What I'm saying is what Drew has with his wife is bullseye in the
that's
fullest
like
sense.
Zen Buddhist type stuff. We're just trying to survive here, Simone.
You better ask her if Susan's actually experiencing that or not.
Susan, are you experiencing
she may be bullshitting
the,
you.
Like the amazing sex?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And if we, I don't want to get too, Drew doesn't like when I say this.
Okay,
but,
so
but
can we talk
we
about
into,
bullseye for a second?
But when we go into oral sex, then I know they're very satisfied.
I
often
talk
try
about
and get them on the
things.
Phone, and quite frankly, Susan's like, I'm sorry, I've got my mouth full. No, I'm only joking.
Go ahead. Girls. Listen, wait, by the way, my sorry. Girl will not, can I be,
yeah.
Can I say,
yeah,
nasty, yeah, we're a podcast.
Words? She won't suck my dick.
Well, it's been a year and a half now, Andy.
I know.
Right, why?
She does a little bit here and there, but she has never done it till
do you
I have my retarded
do you
ejaculation.
Are you that way with her?
I'll do anything she wants.
Yeah, there you go.
But what about anything you want?
No, she like hasn't, she just doesn't want to.
Is it degrading?
It's.
I don't think we haven't filled in Simone.
I think it's an intimacy thing.
On
Sorry.
The age difference.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
50. She's 22.
Oh. This gets better.
It's so hot.
Andy.
Are you speechless?
I want to give you a hug.
You can give me all the hugs you want, but give me that fucking hot bitch every night. Andy.
Well, okay. at least we know objectification is
now
the
we're
word
getting
your
it
language.
Out. We're getting it out, and I'm not getting the.
I can't wait for this podcast to be over so I can go fuck her.
I know that you're thinking about that, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about.
So what happens, right, Andy? Let me ask. What
it's revivifying his trauma every second.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens with her? What happens? So she knows that you're probably going to leave her. What happens?
What about her leaving him?
Okay. Yeah.
Andy, let's think about that.
I don't think she will. We've had so many issues in the whole time.
It is true. They both states over living and sober living. Been through a year and 2 months of this that I know of.
But are they addicted to each other?
Yes.
Have you transferred the addiction?
For sure.
There's a lot of shit that you got to get through.
I feel uncomfortable doing all this on a podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We should get into it later.
Yeah. I would just say, you have a therapist now?
Yeah, okay. Same one.
All right, she's same guy. Great. Oh,
she's a girl. Yeah, woman.
And is she able to set boundaries with you and set limits and semi?
I mean, no.
Nobody really can with you, to be fair.
No. Are we just getting too intimate about it? Because last time we were talking about it pretty much.
We did, but it's hitting a crisis point for him, and I don't want to revivify all this stuff. My deepest fear is just that you're making your recovery about her. And if she leaves, then your recovery goes away and you don't give a fuck. And
I think it's 50-50 with his career, though, too.
Well, if we get enough...
That all fits, being motivated to rebuild your career and being with her and that kind of Malibu. It all fits. She's not the sole reason you're staying sober.
Oh, no, she's not even... No.
She was a part of it in the beginning.
Yeah, there's parts that we can't really talk about
because you didn't want
to
play.
Can I jump in as a way to just sort of when we were talking earlier about sex.
I like talking about the bullseye.
When we were talking about sex, and Drew asked, "What is it about when guys don't like girls
taking control,
and the guys who do like girls taking control?" It's very interesting because there are. Some men, we always think this is with women, but there are some men who actually have a fear of sort of really getting in touch with their sexuality. And so what happens is when a woman takes charge, it means that they don't have rejection, they don't get abandoned. And so it always becomes up to the woman, which then becomes difficult for relationships. So I just thought, I find that as a sex therapist very interesting, that sort of because we think men are just...
I think there's a weird, I think guys will relate to the fact that if when a woman's in control, there's a weird intensity to a fusion fantasy.
Ah.
You know, because they're going to get sucked up into kind of thing. You know, those primitive kinds of feelings that people get around sexuality. I think.
Let's get to the primitive bullseye, I think, for a second, because I want to talk about this.
We're just getting into it.
Okay, I've had this said more than one time. What is, I've never come from intercourse before until you? What is that? It could be a lie, but I believe sometimes it has not been. What is it? What is it that makes somebody come with a certain person? Is it the trauma fitting?
I would say, number one, it really could be that you just got lucky. No,
yeah.
Joking.
Yeah.
You got lucky.
Yeah.
Andy. And
right.
That really shattered your machismo attitude, didn't it?
My girl said she's never come harder and more often than with me. I love that.
And then
more than anyone,
it's a cyclical fitting together.
And
because if
and
a man's
that
told that, then a
outside.
Man gets more confident. More
but it can
active.
Be truthful. It really can be truthful outside of sort of
she's
any
telling the
sort
truth.
Of
I can tell when she
on.
Comes.
Like yeah, it can be. It a can be. Oh great!
I've been
you know,
told by girlfriends of mine, not girlfriends, but girlfriends that they can fake it pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Well, men fake it as
Andy's
well.
So confident.
Men fake it. Women, have you ever faked an orgasm? Andy did.
I never have. Yeah. You can't because something comes out.
Well, you can. You can. Out. Men are faking orgasms.
I'm sure they do, but I don't. But listen, and my girl
it might
can't.
Be exaggerating
this is one
pleasure.
Reason The one reason I like to
they
have
might
sex,
be exaggerating how pleasurable it.
I like to keep my finger on the butt.
Oh, really?
She's so not funny, lying. Why don't we take some emails? I thought you were saying about the butt because I thought you were talking about the button.
Drew just shut down right now.
The clitoris is also known as like the magic button.
Yeah. What's wrong
with
you?
We have to take a break. Be right back.
Okay. Jesus.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest podcast or interaction with drdrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction per se. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the sites or podcasts.
We're back to This Life Podcast. Be sure again to click through on the Amazon banner and support the people that support us here. And again, the Rocky Mountain Treatment Center.
We're going to go out there.
What's going on with Andy?
He's got no place to live in 3 weeks. We're going to check him in up there.
We are concerned that there aren't enough abstinence-based treatment centers, and we find one, we get behind him.
Oh, so you found one that you like.
We found two or three.
And wait, and a what-based treatment center?
Don't believe in Suboxone.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The one you're in believes in Suboxone, doesn't it?
But I haven't taken one thing the whole time.
I know.
Not one pill, nothing.
All right, here's somebody email.
Except the first week, anti-seizure.
Here's an interesting thing. Andy's been abstinent the whole time. Though the treatment center is rather, you know, you don't have to be Andy.
Flimsy, flamsy.
He got sober there.
Yes.
Right.
Do you understand? This is another thing that we need to factor in.
No, people listen. Anybody gets sober anywhere, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's for sure the case.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you think that?
Yeah. If somebody's really ready, they'll bring stuff in to help them stay sober.
Oh, yeah. I've met many, many people who didn't go into treatment. They just stopped. They didn't do AA.
Wow.
That's rare.
Yeah, it is rare, but I've met.
Did nothing?
That happened to George W. Bush.
Well, maybe not nothing. Maybe they went to church or they did something. Yeah,
it's pretty unusual. It's pretty unusual.
But sudden and dramatic psychic.
It's usually with alcohol, not with pills or anything like that.
And I should fill you in.
Not with heroin. I never heard it with heroin.
They shut down the villas. That was the sober living part of SOBA. Uh-huh. But they moved people to different other locations. And I moved into the beach house, second floor, where they used to have like offices.
Convenience.
Has it got a toilet and a shower? Oh, good.
But yeah. I mean, the beach house sounds nice.
It is pretty nice. Yeah.
There you are.
And it's all because you stayed sober, Andrew.
Yep. I'm right across the street from now, the treatment. I got kind of closer.
You scare me when you use, right?
You're scary. It gets strange. Yeah.
His hopelessness. I always think you might kill
yourself.
Forget
strange. The strange is actually fun. The scary is
almost dying.
On the Judd Apatow series, Love. Yes.
Yeah.
And one of these times, it's going to be not
it's
almost.
It's going to be dead. Yeah.
And you're taking the sarsaparilla and all the stuff on the subways and things. It really did remind me of how you get.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I helped write that episode.
I'm sure.
I said, yeah, I would love to do an episode and play a character similar to me. And, you know, like I said, it is just me. But I would really like to help write it. So I went in and I told stories to the writer.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
So that story about getting punched in the head.
I knew that was real.
Yeah.
Until
I shit myself instantly. By the way, that happened on two separate occasions.
Oh,
Jillian does such a great job with that character. And she's not like that.
Gillian,
I beg your pardon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it Gillian Anderson?
She's sober.
Oh, I did not know that.
Is it Gillian Anderson?
No, Gillian. Gillian. What the hell
Gillian
is
that?
She's
Jacobs.
From Community. Jacobs, yeah.
Yeah. Gillian Jacobs.
And she is. She does.
She's great.
I mean, she gets so the borderline stuff so well.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well,
Andy's playing himself. Who knows?
Leslie,
I don't think that's
Leslie Arfin created it, and she's married to Paul Rust, the guy on the show.
The guy with the nose.
The guy, he's great.
Yeah, so they're married, so it's about their relationship.
Oh,
but
my God.
Gillian is playing Leslie.
Well, I knew somebody in there knew exactly what they were writing
Leslie.
About.
It's Leslie.
And how is Leslie now?
Sober for a very long time and really great.
Yeah.
Wow.
But still
a little bit of a wreck. You
sure,
know?
Sure.
Like, we commiserate a lot.
Yeah.
Like during the whole week
of
filming.
I told you.
What?
Just listen to what he just said. Still a little bit of a wreck.
Oh, yeah. You were right.
Still a little bit of splitting going on.
Yeah. And let me tell you what Bob said when I walked in. You're going to stay sober for the rest of your life and you're going to be as miserable as me. That's what you said. And it's true. I don't think it gets better.
People have
it's
to
called
know
life.
It does get
that's
better.
What I love about people, your podcast. People, this is life.
Yeah,
that's right. This is life. Sorry, folks. Yeah.
One of part of that I love about AA is you're supposed to expose who you really are.
Yeah.
AA has now become a hide who you really are, present who you're supposed to be because you're 15 years sober. Because you're 15 years sober.
Yes,
but I
that's bullshit.
See, I'm in AA as the person that's been taught
that's
by Drew.
Why I
see
love
the
you.
Borderline splitting.
Yes.
I see what goes on.
That's
I'm not
why you're my favorite
as
person.
As bad
in
as it used to be
no, I don't even say
for
AA.
That individual, but borderline personality is a little hard
he's
to get rid of.
He's my favorite person.
Oh, no, yeah, you can't get rid of that.
Bob Forrest, for the record, I've said it many times, is my favorite person in recovery.
Oh my God.
My favorite. Because he's so fucking real.
Yeah.
He doesn't take the bullshit. I go to private meetings, you know, where the big celebrities go.
I know.
I know. Man and
you
such.
Don't see me there.
You know what I mean? Like the and he doesn't go. And when I go there, it just smells like bullshit.
Yeah. How interesting.
I can't stand
so for anyone I didn't know that happened. So there are private meetings.
Oh, yeah, there are celebrity meetings. They started in the 80s, and I used to love going to them because all my heroes were there. But now
heroes
all my heroes
and great
have
food.
Died. Oh.
They get their wives to cook these great meals.
And
I go for the food.
It's legitimate in that they
it's
really,
real. Yeah, people get sober and stay sober and maintain their sobriety through that.
You understand that some of these people have real legitimate needs for they can't quite trust these in this day and age. Somebody can take a picture.
Yeah, I can give the biggest, best story. Friend of ours relapsed after 15 years, an actor friend of mine. He calls me. The guy's at his house, psychotic, 7 in the morning, coked out. I go over there with another friend. We're, you know, it was on the verge of like, he might kill this guy or crazy, psychotic, all this anger and drunk and coked out and everything wrong in his life is because of this guy. That guy's a really wonderful person. We went and took him to Jan's Coffee Shop on Beverly, Andy, sobered him up for 3 hours, then went to the 11:30 meeting, a.m. meeting on Sunday. My friend, who's not an alcoholic, was sitting with me in the log cabin, and a photographer took a picture from outside, and it was published in the National Enquirer that he was at an AA meeting with his junkie musician friend.
Of course.
He was there for the most altruistic reason, which is bring his friend and wanted to support his friend to go to an AA meeting after relapsing after 13, 14 years. You know who it is, too, but...
You can't tell.
I can't say.
Let me read an email. It's,
I am.
Is he alive?
You leaving?
Out of here?
I have to go.
What about the bullseye? I want to talk about the bullseye.
I'm coming back. I'm coming back.
You want to do more of this?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'd love to.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
We're just getting started here.
And I also love, for anyone listening, it's so nice because it is in this amazing room and beautiful. Just the couch.
The whole vibe of it.
Because
Andy
needs this couch in his car. Right,
more
bye.
talking, less bullseye.
Yeah, exactly. Bye, everyone.
Bye, take care. We're still. Oh, Simone, where can we find you? Give us all your particulars again.
Simone Bien on Twitter.
At Simone Bien, B-I-E-N-N-E.
Yeah. And you can find me
The website.
On SimoneBien.com, which
and?
Actually is non-existent.
No, the other one.
Helping Your Relationship. And and do come if anyone wants to come and see me, then come and see me. And
can you make appointments there at Helping Your Relationship?
Yeah. Yeah,
Simone is an excellent interpersonal therapist, and there are very few.
Trust me, I know.
But listen, there are very few people that have the skill set in this country. She was trained over in England a lot, and they spent a lot of time and energy training on a certain emotionally focused kinds of therapy that they just don't do so much here anymore. Mm. And so we got you.
Well, before you go, in a nutshell, given what you know about me and my relationship, 50-22, sexually, it's all there. No, it's not there in any other way, really. What do you suggest I do? Can I please stick with it and have fun for a little
I
bit?
I could tell you.
I know that you're
yourself.
Now...
I'm going to anyways.
I know you're being a little boy now and going, can I stick with it? And
well, I'm going to anyways,
do you know
what do you
I'm
think?
Gonna, I'm going to say yes, stick with it.
Thank you. Oh.
And Drew looks at me and then I whisper in Drew's ear. I'm telling him, I'm giving him permission.
Because
so hopefully
okay.
It will become... Less
that's
exciting.
Smart. You're right. It's so true.
But
she's good.
I'm hoping those.
And she's leaving the building.
That is so good. Right when she said it, I'm like, I'm getting out of it.
It's not as fun.
She's right. God, she's good.
Maybe that's what it's been the whole time because it's sober living and Greg.
Yeah, you're not supposed to. The age difference.
Yeah.
you know, I'm supposed to be into men.
What happened with that?
I don't know.
You were for a while.
It went out again.
Would it come? Is that when you're using?
Yeah.
It's when you're using that comes up.
Yeah.
You know what that is or was?
It's the same thing that he just described. You don't get it?
Sex.
You're not supposed to do that. That's dirty. That's I know. It's we're taboo. Catholic. Are you Catholic
a taboo
too?
Thing. No.
Oh, okay.
Presbyterian.
Because when I was in my big drinking phase, I went through that.
Oh, no kidding.
In the early 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the worst thing. Yeah. Oh, you know, in my family, you should be lynched if you do that.
Really?
You know what I mean, Andy? Right?
Do you talk about
it was taboo.
Do you get any trauma work done with your therapist?
I don't know what that means.
Like EMDR.
Get to your mom. You've talked to me about it. His mom and how he was treated as a child. That stuff.
But when it was traumatic, when it was overwhelming, shattering.
Have you heard the stories?
No.
My mom was is she alive?
Dead.
Okay, she was a monster.
Listen. Oh, dude.
What? She was?
Drinking and smoking?
She was constantly drinking. Yeah, she was drunk.
All the time.
My whole life. Yeah. I just thought she was dumb.
Because she was so loaded?
Yeah.
But then
and
she
didn't
would,
even really raise you, right?
Nah, yeah. I was raised by wolves.
But she would drag you to urologists and stuff. Remember?
Oh, yeah. How weird.
Right?
That? Yeah.
So that stuff. And
but
then
there's nothing
how,
you can do about it. The past
no,
is the past.
No, I know, but you're supposed to see the connection between... And I do this because I do this for myself, Andy.
Yeah.
The connection between the 22-year-old, your sexual behavior, your addiction, and how that all relates and how you can help yourself become more whole.
It is how.
Well, some of it is being whole, helping another person see parts of you that you disavow.
What does that mean? Parts of me that I disavow?
That they're empty parts?
Yeah.
Can you tolerate the emptiness?
Well, like, what do you mean? What emptiness? Like,
you don't feel empty some of the time?
Yeah. You know, like early on in my sobriety, I was meditating all the time, all day sometimes.
Yeah.
At least twice a day. I'm not meditating as much. I noticed.
Well, you got to prepare for the big drop off because you're going out into real life here.
No, that's
yourself.
What I was going to tell. No, I just told you I'm moving into the beach house closer.
By yourself.
Indefinitely?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm like at this point, I'm kind of afraid to
go
good. Into the real
That's
world.
Very well, healthy. See, very healthy.
You still have to do it
eventually.
But
I'd like
I'm
to see
him, you,
I'd like to see
of,
that relationship wrap up before he does it, though.
You have
you.
To.
And I'm not wishing you any.
I know you know. Mean.
Let's give a little short note because we say long-term treatment. We're talking about week to week hitting goals and being more and more aware, not just staying sober, living it.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people nowadays, Andy, and you've been around it the last 2 or 3 years. They'll just live in sober living for like 22 months.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they leave that, Drew, they're lost.
Well, they don't have any skills, yeah.
Yeah.
It's called learned helplessness.
Well, I'm not sure it's that. It's just not any active skill. Any skills to go out and take care of themselves.
I have there is the accountability, the peeing in a cup and breath.
Well, you're already a fully formed adult. A lot of those kids there are not.
They're not. So I'm 50.
And they've just been there. So it looks good on the surface. They've been sober a year. They're in sober living for a year. But literally, when they do that transition into real life, they can't do it, Drew. So you know what they're doing nowadays?
Mm.
And I've had two kids tell me, I'll just get high and start again.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? And you probably witnessed it.
Many times.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We need people to stay sober and be challenged and take each step of the way and face each fear.
And I would argue it starts back with our parenting. We need to let kids fail and deal with the frustrations of life. That is so important. Life is frustrating.
Yeah.
And we rescue kids from that constantly. And so they face a world that's frustrating. It's like, no, thank you. I'll stay in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing, right?
Yeah. I was going to tell you something about I'm staying in there. I'm living in there.
Let me do some emails. How about that?
Yeah.
Email.
Is somebody who has sex addiction. It's primarily porn. Went to a therapist who said she could help. It didn't. I was sexually abused as a child, and the person groomed me with porn. Ugh. The pain of losing my wife for 23 years is my final straw.
The person did what with porn?
Groomed him. In other words, like, These perpetrators show kids
porn together
with them,
and then that happened to you, Annie?
He's older.
No.
you know, let me refer him to a good website. It's a Center for Healthy. You ought to go there too. Called centerforhealthysex.com. I gave it to you last time you were there.
But I don't have a problem with my sex, which might be a problem.
It's the emptiness and loss.
Center for it's the intensity.
It's fun. It's the only fun thing I have left.
Center for
healthysex.com. Oh, that's not true.
It's the only fun.
Well, work. You got your work back.
Yeah,
everybody.
It would be nice to be.
How about
on a series,
this, Andy?
A
how about this?
Series.
When you mentioned Andy Dick's name 16 months ago, people went, "Oh, like it's sad."
That poor thing.
You mention it now, and people go, "Oh, I saw him on this. Oh, he's doing great."
Yeah, that's nice,
right?
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. Listening to the show, cheated on my girlfriend, mother of my children. I went to a massage parlor. Happy ending. It was a mistake. I feel he confessed it a week later because he was feeling so guilty.
Is this a sober person?
No.
Oh, okay.
We've been together 4 years. I just want to raise our family. If I've seen other couples get through this. So it's sort of issues about indiscretion and honesty here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he didn't get thrown out. Looks like they might have something healthy that he could say that. Right?
But he's feeling sort of... like pushed away by her. I regret what I did. I want to restore my healthy relationship.
That's understandable.
I understand. Don't
you think that?
Yeah. I do. The one thing that the research shows is that the one that's been betrayed needs to talk and talk and talk. Often talk way more than is like fun. They need to talk it all out for a long time. Sometimes it's best if they get a therapist. So they can hear each other.
At least divide it up in the talking.
And then the honesty and the hiding and stuff is really at the core of the problem, right?
I have that with my girl.
You hide stuff.
No, she... Remember I caught her at her boss's apartment?
Yes.
Hated it. To this day, it just bugged. It
keep
hurts.
Talking about it, Andy. Keep talking.
She won't let me talk about it.
See, that's not good. Yeah, that's not good. Because if something else happens, then it's going to...
Yeah. And something else has happened. It's been a couple things. Mm-hmm. So I remove myself, but I care about her. If I leave her, which I've given her the opportunity, I'm like, if you're not happy, maybe we shouldn't go out.
But she's lying and hiding, right?
Yeah.
Do you do that too?
Lately, I have been a little.
To protect yourself?
Yeah, to kind of have one foot out the door. So it's kind of like, it's closing down.
It's crazy.
This factory is closing
down. That's why you're
down.
Upset.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because if you know, devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Well, no, it's not that.
He's not going to be single for long.
No, I know that, but he has something. Years. He likes this.
30 years.
It's just good sex. That's the bottom line.
Oh, come on now.
I honestly, I can't remember it being ever that great in my life.
You know one thing I forgot to tell you, too. You know one of my best songs, the main song that was on K-Rock, not Sammy Hagar Weekend, this other song called So What If I Did? You ever heard that song? It has a slow...
Yeah.
Doon, 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 a really pretty song.
Yeah.
That's about... I had cheated on my girlfriend. This is in 87. I cheated on her, told her. Then she slept with one of our good friends. And when she came home the next morning, I said, "You didn't just fuck Michael Blake, did you?" And she goes... So what if I did? And I was standing at the front door of our house, and I just went. I went right to write it down. And just wrote the whole song.
So lyrics.
What if I did?
Oh,
right.
So
and it was with the guy who wrote "Dances with Wolves." Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Michael. He just passed away a couple of years ago. Jeez. So sad.
So who won? You.
So are you?
Look at
how
Andy sees victory.
Hmm. Well, I think
I'm
about
still
that.
Alive.
I was talking about Michael Jackson. And how he bought the Beatles. He bought the whole catalog. And Steve Jobs. Just last night I was talking about those two guys. They both died at my age. They're dead. I'm 50. They died around 50.
I'm well past it.
So, did they win in life?
Who's going to win in the end?
Steve Jobs was he was a billionaire. Did they win, though?
Who's gonna win in the end between Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr? I got my money on Ringo. Will be the last remaining.
What,
right.
what are you qualifying as win?
I don't know.
Happiness, satisfaction.
Or maybe even if it's just a nice long life. Right. Because
what if it's miserable
like
and tortured by sex addiction and love addiction and alcoholism?
This is life.
but your point is important, right?
Yes.
Right.
Just to stay alive and to make a difference with people.
Yes.
Like the episode of Love, people were touched by it.
Yeah.
Some people laughed, and like Simone thought it was entertainment. Some people, they my friends cried and had to turn it off because it's poignant.
I was, yeah.
Do you remember I took the sassafras in that episode to get sober?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to have a vision.
Because you were slamming enough. Drinks.
Yeah, I'm supposed to like have a big enough vision that it's like ayahuasca. It's going to help me to not want to get high.
Right, which is it's what so people ridiculous. Do all the time, right?
In the subway, leaving the next morning going, well, now what? Guess I'll meet you at another meeting on Tuesday.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because most stories would not that end that
sad,
way.
Sad, depressing ending. Yeah, I made
that was
sure.
So realistic. Oh, yeah.
That, it's like sad and creepy, and that's how it always is. That's one of the main... I think of you said there's two things. One of the things that diverts me or has me not... go back out there is that thing in the next day. The next day is dreadful. I just have to start drinking immediately. Mm-hmm. And number two, and it could be number one, is not having to go back into another fucking facility.
Newcomer, you said that. Into rehab.
You said that keeps you from not drinking.
Yeah, just...
I liked when she asked you about the app, too.
Yeah.
Resetting the app.
Let's just reset.
Resetting the app, the sobriety app?
Yeah.
Oh
my God, how great is that? I think about that a lot.
Yeah. It's a very vivid piece of the story. And I you kind of shuddered when she asked you. I thought, ooh, yes.
You're going to reset the app. Yep. Wow, that's a new AA term.
Yeah. Well, they make a whole thing on
it. I put that in
because on
there.
Facebook, every day, there's like 10 of them on my stream, like people, and they loved on their birthday to post their app.
Yeah.
Right? I don't even know what the app is.
There's a bunch of different
ones. I got 20 years and 6 days, bitch.
And I'm not.
How about that, Andy? 20 years.
Oh, you
and six
do?
Days.
Yeah, congratulations! I didn't know that.
Did you know Bob back in the day? I mean, yeah. Did you know Bob back in the day?
We don't know.
You'd be more amazed.
We don't know.
Andy ran with everybody.
I knew who he was. He didn't know who I was, but I was supposed to be on the Ben Stiller show the week it was canceled,
wow,
and I was at crazy. The little in Central Hollywood, that Deco building. I was doing a read through,
wow,
and then it got canceled.
Yep.
Of course, you didn't show up. Were you drinking then?
Of course, here and there. Yeah. It wasn't full fledged.
It was weird. It was Janine, you, Ben, yeah, and who else was on?
Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and they got canceled the fucking week I was supposed to be. Shoot. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So bummed out.
Yeah, I know. I'm a specialist in that.
Are you?
I end shows.
You do.
Yes.
Andy, were you crushed when that happened? Because that was a big deal, right?
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
You
things really just took off from there. Another offer.
Was it just sudden that you guys heard you got canceled? Because it seemed chaotic.
That's right, it always is.
It seemed
chaotic.
Yeah,
but it was a little bit of a relief. We were doing these weird 16-hour days. Ben was a strict taskmaster. He just was a little mini Hitler. Let's work. Like 16-hour days. We were filming like it was a movie.
Oh, no, filming?
Filming, because they weren't these live sketches in front of an audience. We were filming them like movies, and Ben was loved having many, 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 many takes.
I wish I could get that script.
That'll be fun.
I can get it for you because I'm back. I'm talking again with Judd a lot.
Was Judd
Stiller.
Involved in that?
Yeah, he was the head writer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so my two guys.
He came up to Loveline with you.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did Loveline. That was my first time on Loveline, was the whole cast.
The entire cast.
Janine
and
Garofalo, Bob Odenkirk, Ben Stiller, and Judd.
Do we have that in a podcast form somewhere?
You should find that.
What about do classic Loveline?
We have it.
Do podcasts of them.
No, it's out there.
No, we have it.
We have that.
They exist.
Oh, okay.
But there's a super fan named Giovanni who's collected all of it.
But, you know.
And he, I don't know if he's got that one. He doesn't go back there. He sort of stays in the Corolla years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But that was really early, right? That's early.
87.
It was Poor Man.
What was
you and Poor Man.
And what was the year?
No, we don't have that.
I would
Swedish
say 89,
Eagle
90.
Was on there too, wasn't he?
Yeah, Poor Man.
Wasn't Swedish Eagle on it? For
no,
a
that was 83. 84.
Who was, it was you and him?
No, me,
Wait,
Poor Man,
year?
Eagle,
no, it was
Scott
me,
Mason.
Poor Man and Swedish Eagle.
And then remember the guy that ended up working at MTV? Tommy?
Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis Largent.
Was he on the air too?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
he was. Then became like the music manager.
Oh, it was so great. Now I'm gonna get a tear in my eye. I get a tear in my eye, Andy, for the 80s.
Oh, I know. I love the 80s.
But now you're dating girls that were born in the 80s.
I got a couple things.
That's right. Oh, 1992 to 93.
Oh, my God. 90s.
Yeah, 90.
That's not right. Even by my standards, that's not right.
No, it's right.
Oh, well. Okay. We're going to move on from this subject.
I have an email about erectile dysfunction. This gentleman gets erectile dysfunction when he's in the middle of intercourse. And he's got a family history of heart disease. He's 29 years old.
What medication?
He needs some Andy Dick advice.
What medication?
Right. So here are the common things.
Medications.
Well, again,
it's all in the mind.
First of all, he has a family history of heart disease. And particularly a 30 or 40-year-old can be the earliest sign of heart disease. Number two, medication, drugs, for sure. Weight excess. If you're obese, it can have an issue there.
So far, you're describing all Americans. Go ahead.
Yeah. Then anxiety in a 20-year-old sometimes make them, is a trauma, anxiety, that kind of stuff. Again, if he has a trauma history, like gets very anxious. It seems like it's a long-term relationship. So he needs to see a doctor first and foremost to make sure that, again, it's not medicine. It's not substances. And also the other thing we're seeing right now in young males is the excessive use of porn is causing erectile dysfunction.
I agree. Like for women, the excessive use of a vibrator.
Yep.
My girl started using one and our sex went down. I wasn't able to make her come, and I said, "Look, it's like it's me or the vibrator.
Don't dent the dildo stock price here. They serve a purpose, Andy.
If you're not dating somebody with a dick.
But Drew, I want to talk about medicines because a lot of people are having. They don't even think that the medicines they're taking, like Seroquel or Neurontin, are even medicine. And a lot of the sober community is having erectile dysfunction trouble in 20-somethings. And I go, well, how many meds are you on? These kids pull out. They're like on 5 meds. No,
not only that, they'll be on Suboxone or Methadone. And go, I'm on nothing. I'm on nothing.
Nothing.
It's like nothing.
I'm not taking anything. I'm just taking Seroquel, Neurontin, Depakote, Suboxone.
Yeah.
I'm not on anything.
Wellbutrin.
So what does she do to help him? Like, how is she going to get him?
Just go to the doctor.
I mean, he could probably take Viagra too, right?
Sometimes if they need to get their confidence back for a little bit, but you got to get at the core issue here. You can rule out heart disease. You got to change the meds. You got to, if it's an anxiety disorder, you got to get that treated. I mean, this stuff.
It's probably a cluster of all, because if you're having erectile dysfunction periodically from meds that you're taking as a side effect, right?
Yep.
Then you're going to get anxious about it, whether it's going to happen or not.
That's called anticipatory anxiety, and that can make it happen.
Andy, you ever had that anticipatory anxiety?
I was when I first started dating this girl. I couldn't even get hard, and if I did, I couldn't stay hard.
I remember him talking
about this. I couldn't even fuck her. She was very patient. 3 months she had to be patient with
me.
You
were early
in
sobriety, though.
No, but he was on meds too. What med were you on?
No, I wasn't on any meds ever.
No,
nope. It was because I was jerking off every night to porn.
Oh well, there you go.
Oh my God.
What's the problem with that?
Plus,
I didn't have a girl, but when I did get the girl, I stopped.
And he didn't want to be intimate yet, so he just kept doing the porn.
And I was used to being with guys. I told you that maybe if I fuck you from behind, let's try that. So she turned around, she got on her hands and knees, and I reached between her legs to grab her cock.
Nothing there.
There was nothing there, and I had to tell her, oh my God, I just reached for your cock. I think I told you that one.
No, that's new for me.
Can you believe that?
I've never heard of a ghost cock.
And that happened twice.
A ghost cock.
That happened twice. I had to stop and say, I'm so sorry. I just reached for your imaginary.
We just Paul coined Mercurio. A phrase.
Wait
a
minute.
Hi.
Andy Dick, Paul
I'm
Mercurio.
Andy.
Howdy, howdy. We just coined a phrase.
Ghost cock.
I've said it
on stage before. I reached for my girlfriend's ghost cock.
He was used to being with men, and he reached for
around
was,
for and there was
to give
there
to
was,
give my girl that you know the reach proper around, reach around,
and there was nothing there because it was a girl.
Oh.
So he calls it a ghost cock.
Yeah. Maybe Paul wants to take a mic
glad
too.
I missed that.
So let's go back to the one where he's going to see prostitutes and stuff. So
which ones? Like the erectile dysfunction thing because I think a lot of young men are having.
No, we got three. We worked through that. We talked about that. I mean, we're sort of.
We should say it's okay. Andy's had it. I've had it.
I think it's right? For me. It was in my mind. It was too much porn, and then it was in my mind.
But kids
when I was
really
with her.
Think there's as if these kids Drew don't already think they're fucking crazy enough and loser enough and addicted to drugs hopelessly. Then they have that problem, and it. It just falls
Andy has
down
this
like
weird thing where he pees in like 4 seconds. He'll all of a sudden pee and it'll take him like 4 seconds.
That's how he comes too.
He like hooks his bladder up to like a spigot. Paul, get on the mic here. Paul Mercurio, great Paul Mercurio.
Paul, thanks for coming.
That's the only upside to erectile dysfunction is.
Yeah, you walked right into
you
it.
You can pee.
Fast pee.
So
your penis isn't preoccupied with anything else.
But a lot of 20-somethings are having it, and they won't talk about it. They talk about it with me because they trust me or something. I believe it's all the meds they're on.
Of course. The meds number one by far.
Are 21-year-old people supposed to be on 5 meds?
No, I hope not.
Again, who are we giving it to?
No.
Huh? Why'd you point that way?
Because Paul can keep the mic if he wants, but it's up to him. But so let's go back to relationships and honesty and hiding, that kind of stuff, because that's a lot of the problems we see with addicts and relationships. They have a problem with honesty.
Telling the truth.
Yeah.
I would say in my life, sober, I've had a problem where somebody I'm in a relationship with is confronting me that I'm not in love with them anymore. I don't love them. But I say, no, I am. But I'm not, because I don't know how to have the conversation.
But hang on. As usual, the window of addiction is just a window into humanity generally.
It's a porthole into the psychoticness of us.
No, but this honesty thing, I think, is something that's a very common thing. And what, so how
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I get what you're saying.
It happens in every relationship. That's the only way a relationship can get better. Is if you have that conversation, Andy. But if you say, no, I love you, and then you just have sex,
but what are you covering up? I mean, I'm not the professional.
Please.
This sounds a dime store, but does it go back to childhood and sort of, I don't know, in your case, sort of not, did you experience something or witness something?
I witnessed two people who didn't like each other remaining married for their children for 35 years.
Mm-hmm. So you're a model for relationships with people that don't like each other.
Possibly. Yeah. I never looked at it that way. I just said, I'm never going to give up no matter what, but I don't know how to have a healthy relationship. So then that gloss over, I would say the gloss over happens about 2 years before the end. And Andy, you know what I'm talking about, the gloss over.
Yeah. What do you mean
gloss
over?
That's why I like that Andy's
talking
about it.
You're not being honest. You gloss over certain
things. You don't
even
know what the truth is at a certain point.
Yeah. That's an addict thing.
You do feel differently. You don't want your partner to feel abandoned. You got a bunch of psychobabble in our society. You try to go to marriage and family therapy twice a week for a year. I felt like I was being misunderstood, and there was no. The more you talked about being misunderstood, the more it looked like you were what they were kind of marginalizing you to be.
Hmm. Were you being held up emotionally by the other person? In other words, like if either implicitly
right
or explicitly, either implicitly or explicitly. In other words, she's going to just hang you out to dry with guilt or whatever. If you're honest and say this isn't going where.
Well, the idea would be the fear of abandonment. She's pretty cold blooded. She'll just pack up and leave.
So if you are honest about what you're feeling, what you've done, that's going to end things necessarily. Even with a therapist, they're making it safe.
Yeah, it was talked about there.
Wait, hold on a second. The therapist is supposed to help it be safe, right?
The therapist there's a lot of therapists that are trying their best, I think. But there's a lot of... So what I felt like, I was being called on the carpet and she was not because of her age. Right? That it was labeled old guy, young girl... So let's not treat it as both legal adults, right? Mm-hmm. And no matter how much I tried to be, say, this is what I think it is, this is my trauma, this is what I feel, I want an intimate relationship, I want a successful marriage, it was always, you know, the other
old
side
guy,
was not
young.
Being as vulnerable, as open, as wanting for success.
Just didn't want to have the conversation
and
shut you down?
Yeah, didn't want to shut down.
But
silent,
maybe that was you were getting too close. Now you were actually available for a real relationship, and she didn't sign up for that.
Yeah.
How long were you in the relationship at that
7
point?
7 years.
Are you recently out?
Yeah, I got divorced a year and a half ago, Andy.
Yeah,
you? I know we talk about you a lot. We're I was suicidal and living by myself in Joshua Tree. I don't know if you know that or
not. I was wondering why you always went out to the desert with your dogs.
Because the dog
thought about that.
Because the dog listens to him. That's right.
The dog will be vulnerable.
It's the only thing.
You shut yourself off, because I was constantly trying to be your friend and talk to you because I needed it. But you would be like, I'm
exactly
out to the
that.
Desert. And I'm like, what?
But behind this email,
you're an asshole.
Behind this email, are there limits to honesty? How honest
I think
you
have to
Paul?
I don't
I think so. I mean, I think if you dump too much on the other person, you start to sort of cross those lines.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not honesty, it's more of a desperation.
What about a living amends? about the idea that you
not doing it anymore in a living amends. I do that.
What
in
are
AA
we talking about?
Time.
Cheating? What are
anything,
we talking about?
Anything that you want to make? Yeah. You don't want to be honest about.
Anyway, it's never going to happen again. That thing. That yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then after a certain point, if it happens to, I don't know, whatever your number is, two or three more times, then you're getting jerked around or you're just a fool sitting there, you know, waiting to get hit in the head with a bat again. And then I think you have to go, you know what, this isn't healthy for me and you're manipulating me. Like my mother manipulated my father. And like I saw my mother like embarrass my father in front of me. And it still kind of fucks me up to this day.
What did she say?
Well, my father, he was a blue-collar guy. He put floors in for a living. And my mother was very driven. She was only high school educated. She couldn't go to college, so she felt ripped off not having a college degree. So she started her own business, a furniture business. And she pushed my father into being a businessman, like having a business too. And he wasn't. And he wasn't good with numbers and stuff. And he was losing a lot of money on his side of the business. She had furniture. He had floor covering. Long story short, you know,
she would shame him in front of the family.
She shamed him. I remember him staying up for two straight nights at the dining room table, big oval table with all these papers spread out, and he just looked completely lost, like he didn't. And she just kept berating him, you know. And I have to be careful because my wife works with me now, and there's been a couple of times where I've kind of gone there, and then I had to stop myself.
What do you do?
You know, I hit her. No.
He's a comedian. He's a comedian. He's
not hard. Just
he writes for Colbert.
No, I mean, what I'll say is...
What
like
do you
I
do
say,
for a living?
Oh, I'm a comic.
And your wife works for you?
Yeah, she helps me.
Paul has the most amazing story of all time. Yeah. He was an attorney, high-flying attorney and venture investment banker who just dumped the whole thing for comedy.
That's awesome. Because you're real. You know, your stories are good. You didn't do it for a living.
But if you got dough, it's kind of easier.
No.
Life experience.
I had to sell my apartment.
You have a point of view. You have life experience. Yeah. And that's what a comedian needs.
Yeah. I was writing jokes as a hobby. I met Jay Leno at a private function. I gave him some jokes. I just said, you can have them. And he called me and said, start sending stuff in for the Tonight Show. And then he did one of my jokes. And it kind of just started from there. And then
talk about addiction. He got addicted to it. Boom.
And then I had this really great apartment in Manhattan. I sold it. I sold everything. And I moved to a rooming house and started over because I didn't have a lot of money at the time.
You know a guy named Mike Berry?
No.
But hang on. If anybody wants to hear Paul's story in detail, I do 2 hours with him on the Dr. Drew podcast.
it's brutal.
We get into every little detail. Yeah, it's the best story ever.
Thanks. So I find. That's why I was asking earlier, like, if you saw patterns in your childhood, because I definitely, and I have to be careful, you know, because I could go there.
The thing
about
honesty, the alcoholics addicts have problems with honesty. It's in the condition.
Both ways, though, I believe.
How's that?
Both ways, meaning they withhold the truth and are good at that and always thought to be that's how they lie. There's another way where they disclose too much, spray everything to everyone. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's me.
To try to push away, to find where the boundary is, to say, well, I told you,
I've done that before.
Yeah.
Well, I told you everything, so I don't know what the hell you expected.
Yeah, we had a friend, he grew up blue collar in New Bedford, Massachusetts. He went to Harvard, undergrad, Columbia Law School, brilliant, big Irish guy, and loved to drink, and we all partied and drank. And he came home one day, but he was tough to live with. He was just a big Irish guy that didn't know social boundaries. He said, his wife...
We just call that an alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, that's what he ended up becoming. His wife said, I'm leaving you. This is a guy who never had, up to that point in his life, a defeat, a significant defeat. Mm-hmm. So now he's got two kids and his wife. Kids are in teenagers or 10 or 11, whatever. And he has to move out, moves to an apartment, and starts drinking and drinking and drinking. And we try to save him.
He survived.
He literally drank himself to death. Yeah. And I remember going to visit him at a facility. And he's like, yeah, look at these other people. I'm, you know, like that whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was sort of, you reminded me of mentioning that you couldn't get through to him. You know, I was using everything. I was saying, do it for your kids, you know, but whatever, be around.
I am that guy.
Yeah.
But I still am at the facility and I still look around like, oh, I'm not as bad as these guys.
Yeah.
But I'm still there.
16 months he's been there.
Like, I stopped listening to myself, to be honest with you.
Good.
And you trust myself.
You worked with my good friend Jim Jones.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
He was the producer on the Ben Stiller Show.
Right.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'd forgotten that.
We were just talking that.
Jim Jones.
So when did you just get out?
I'm still in it.
No, he's still in it. I have to go. So we're living without poison or whatever.
Well, it's not even a sober living anymore. It's just a house near, near, right?
Across the street from the treatment center.
A house not near.
It's across the street. So it's around professionals.
Where sobriety happens.
With no lock. You know, anybody, they can walk in.
We got to wrap this up. What do we do with Andy? How are we going to help him?
Yeah, what are you going to do now?
I brought weed. I brought it from New York.
I think the natural history would take its course. We just want him to stay sober no matter what.
Yeah,
because some rough waters ahead here in the next 6 months.
I'm sort of with Simone. I think you're going to be okay. Yeah. I've always been concerned about the sex and love addiction stuff. I'm hoping you're dealing with that in therapy. I mean, you deal with it in therapy too.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but you're with Simone, meaning like, go ahead and do what you need to do, but you're hoping I don't do what I need to do.
No, you're going to go do it right now.
Which is still doing what you need
to do. Here, Andy, I want you to get in your car now. Hug us, take a photo, get in your car, and go.
Fuck her.
Yes.
Really well. It's going to be great.
Bullseye, bullseye, bullseye.
This has been foreplay. Can you send the video?
Bullseye, bullseye.
I should take some video.
All right.
Well, but again, you're doing so well for so long here. We're goofing around.
Is this
around.
The longest you've ever been sober?
No, I had that 2.5 years once.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't talk about it.
This is interesting because it's good I just stepped in here at the end. Yeah. It sounds like you're getting ready to go back to not being sober. Are you worried about that or something?
We're worried
about it. A relationship that is like using.
They've known me. These guys have known me for 20 years. Okay. Right. So they know the patterns, I try to listen to them now at this point.
You're going
back to the old thing, which is just fucking sucks.
I have a feeling that it's
boring.
I have a feeling that that's all true, but I also feel like you're on the threshold of sustained sobriety, and that scares you too.
Yeah, because I don't want to be like Bob.
Why would that scare somebody?
Because I'm sober a long time and I claim to be miserable.
He's not miserable.
It's an oversimplification of what it is.
Oh, my God.
We're all miserable.
You should have seen him before, Andy. I saw him when he was miserable.
I'm not miserable because I can't control my bowels, Andy. I'm miserable for the other reasons.
God almighty. When he and Courtney were shooting heroin on buses at MacArthur Park and stuff. Are you kidding me?
Going to get abortions.
Ugh.
Jesus, I live a boring life.
You trust me compared to these guys? All right, well, listen, we got to wrap this up.
This is life.
That's Andy, we appreciate you supporting us, supporting this. We got your back, man. Whatever we can do to
support
you.
You're supporting me. Yeah,
well, we are happy to do
so. See it. Thank you.
Stay sober, Andy.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
What's Dick in Washington?
Andy Dick in Washington?
What is that? This is the thing that
Judd
Apatow did?
I just got back from Washington, D.C., meeting with Senator Cory Booker.
About what?
From New Jersey, Senator from New Jersey.
And you didn't drink on the plane or anything? It's good.
No, because it was about sobriety.
Oh, yeah.
I was with Greg Hanley from SOBA. Thing.
Great.
It's all a con. That whole thing's a con.
I'm
such a cynic.
What's the
$1
con?
$1 billion for the tsunami epidemic of addiction we have in this country.
Yeah.
They're all acting like, I don't know.
Who's going to spend $1 billion? The government?
The federal government.
Doing what?
Treating addicts with probably all these Florida people that rip everybody
it's
off.
It's going to be replacement therapy.
Is it going to be?
Oh, 100%.
What do you mean by that?
All the government agencies. It's going to be rehab.
All the government agencies are fully endorsing replacement.
Back up Andy and I. What is replacement therapy?
Suboxone, methadone, things like that. Oh. So.
Is it the whole clean needles program, all that stuff?
No, that would be fine.
That's a health.
It's like methadone.
Whatever.
Stop the hardcore drugs and do
No, but a lot of the absence-based people went to Washington, but you're saying that the real money, once it's doled out, it's going to be
all I know is that NIDA and everyone is huge into the replacement therapy. I will say that Botticelli, the guy who's the drugs czar, is a sober guy himself, and he knows the difference. I'm hoping you can have some persuasion.
Here's the main thing I learned is that over 47,000 people died of heroin last year, overdose. Yeah. Yeah. And that's more than any other epidemic.
Do you know the solution for that is?
Yeah, don't drink or use no matter what.
Naloxone would be one helpful thing.
So talking about
implantable naloxone. Oh, no, naloxone is good. Implantable naloxone even, that kind of thing. But and that doesn't include pills. Which is in bigger numbers.
Yeah.
You
and
didn't
the other
see
thing
the 2020
is,
thing, right? In third grade, they're teaching kids give up the nasal naloxone to their parents who OD in front of them.
Yep. Make sure to go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating on that pleasant note. Wow. Share our post on the Dr. Facebook page and also send us some some questions.
I'll be laughing at my own funeral, Andy.
Dr. Drew.com/contact.
I will be.
Hit up the Amazon banner. Bookmark it. ThisLifePodcast.com, DrDrew.com. Again, Rocky Mountain Treatment Center. Those guys are great. Rocky.rehab.com. If you want to check them out, please do. Check them out. I think you'll be as impressed as we are.
What sets them apart? I got to hear about them.
They've got a really good medical director. They have a really good clinical team. They're relatively small, and they're abstinence-based, and they're set up for long-term care.
What do you mean by that? How 90 long?
90 days.
90 or 4 months?
90 inpatient. Not just detox and ship you off to Jack in the Box.
4 months.
Well, whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
but they'll let you stay there for a while.
Yeah.
And it's,
I thought it was 90 days. I'm going to go out there. You can come with me, Andy, and we'll go to the Yellowstone Club and go skiing.
Okay.
Right. Well, Bob hangs out.
I think I want to go.
I know Bob hangs out with people at our houses at the Yellowstone Club. People like that. He does.
Who's that?
Andy, you gotta hang out with Bob more often. You're always with your 22-year-old girlfriend.
Why wouldn't I be?
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this. We'll see you next time.
Going hard, going out, going in.